Number two, keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
All right. Welcome back. Republic of Texas Radio, Hour 2, Sunday, May 30th, 2021. I love it when a plan comes together, at least tries to come together. Dang, that's really kind of cool. I've been keeping this a surprise for several days, and I'm not really good at surprises, right? But I knew that this would mean an awful lot to Alan. And so I held it as a surprise to give him something, right? Because this is good. So there's this guy, right? You know, his name's Darren Weeks. And he's a broadcaster. He's been a broadcaster here on Republic Broadcasting. Man, he has a long track record with Republic Broadcasting, from American Exposé to Sweet Liberty to his latest project. It's been Govern America. He's all over the place, right? But he's self-syndicated now, right? So that means that he controls all of everything of Govern America, right? And we lost him a while back due to the monetary issues. And the monetary issues were this, that he pays for everything that he does, right? It's the way that we do it out here in the alternate media. Some people make money off of it. But, Alan, next week you will be able to listen to Govern America on satellite radio again.
Woohoo! Awesome.
Isn't that great? Man. Welcome aboard, Darren. Really happy about that change.
Yeah, it's good to be back on the satellite. It'll be on American Voice Radio Network. However, that's just the way things. It's a timing formatting thing, and so we have the flexibility to be able to do the breaks where we need to do the breaks, and the clocks line up. But it's good to be, you know, increase our reach. As you know, Steve and Alan, our country is in great peril. And I was just reading
exact
some of the headlines.
Words I was going to use, Darren, grave peril. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just reading the headlines this morning, and it's very disturbing what's taking place. Of course, we have this ongoing pandemic, which isn't a pandemic. You know, you guys were just talking about that. I noticed it the last hour toward the end there, where Dr. Fauci is funding the Eco Health Alliance. Eco Health Alliance funds the NIH, and they're still funding the Wuhan lab, as far as I know. They said they were going to continue funding it up until the year 2024. And my question is, in a sane world, you'd think that this little scumbag Dr. Fauci would have lost his job by now. But yet he's still there. He's you know, in the past, when public officials have been shamed, if they weren't hung publicly in the square, they were at least forced out of their positions and possibly faced some criminal prosecution. There's no consequences now to the criminals that are in office today. So you have to ask yourself a lot of serious questions here. Where are we in American history that public officials can be corrupt and there's never any consequences? They never fear anything. They don't feel.
Well, you know, maybe they've got that blackmailing background and network like the Clintons do. You know, I mean, what bigger criminals are there? And no repercussions. I lived through that in Arkansas from the time he was attorney general up through him being big president boy, and you know, him and George Bush being worst enemies. Yet after they were both out of the presidency, that you never saw a picture of one of them without seeing the other one. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure there's a lot of that that's going on. You know, one of the things that I was reading this morning is, well, first of all, we had another shooting. So, you know, of course, the gun control crowd probably going to be coming after our guns again. We have 25 people that were shot, I guess. I don't know if it was early this morning or late yesterday evening, but 25 people were shot in Miami-Dade County, Florida, at some sort of a banquet. And I'm a little sketchy on the details here because I just saw it But this is breaking evidently right now. And so, you know, they're going to be ratcheting up the gun control thing. In the meantime, we've got all kinds of things going on in the China front. I was just this morning at the Gatestone Institute, which is an international policy think tank. They were talking about how China can soon be patrolling off of New York. They say Chinese planners are not only thinking of the continent of Africa, and they've done a lot of stuff in Africa. But they're also eyeing islands in the Atlantic, specifically Terceira, one of the Azores. On that island, part of Portugal, there is a port and even a greater interest, Air Base number 4, better known of La Haye Field, I think is how you pronounce that. The facility is jointly operated by the U.S. Air Force and its Portuguese counterpart. They say if China controlled the base, the Atlantic would no longer be secure. Chinese planes could patrol the northern and central portion of the Atlantic and thereby cut air and sea traffic between the U.S. and Europe. Beijing would also be able to deny access to the nearby Mediterranean Sea. You know, the Pentagon's been cutting the budget lately and scaling back some activities, which I think, you know, a lot of our military spending is way out of control. So I agree with some of that, but the problem is China is coming in also and filling the void in some of these bases. Apparently, La Haye is one of those bases that has essentially become what they call a ghost base, and China could take it over. But so you got that going on, and this is really on the heels, and there's other bases that they're eyeing too. And this is all on the heels of yesterday on Govern America. We were talking about this Epoch Times story where the communist Chinese, there's a gentleman, I won't call him a gentleman, he's a CEO of a company. His name is Su Guangxin, and he is a former officer in the Chinese People's Liberation Army. And he is also one of the largest landowners in the Xinjiang province. This guy just bought, and I think the Epoch Times report, the interview that we aired, said that he has like something like 6,000 People's Liberation officers or individuals, soldiers, that answer to him. And he just bought through a proxy, he bought 130,000 acres of land in Texas. And it's positioned right next to America's largest Air Force pilot training base. And the ostensive reason that he did it was supposedly to put up a wind turbine, but they say that there's not a whole lot of wind in that area. And that what he wants to do is he wants to plug directly into the power grid. So this is a real threat. You know, we have all this stuff going on in our country right now. In the meantime, you got the Black Lives Matter and the Antifa mob on the ground every night, seemingly still rioting in certain cities in our country. I read back a while ago that they were working to purchase, they actually had purchased land to actually build their little own, kind of like their own little compound. Nation. Yeah, I would even say a compound. They're going to do like agriculture and a whole bunch of other stuff. Like they're trying to carve out a nation within our own nation.
A place where only Chinese citizens are allowed to enter and live and exist, and basically, yes, a country within our country. I've heard of this. That's up in like Nevada or Montana or somewhere like that. Where was that?
Yeah, I think that was probably pretty close. I don't have it before me right now. I'm doing it on memory, and sometimes, you know, of course, my memory fails.
We've got a lot of, we've taken in a lot of information, Darren. Sometimes it's hard to recall it with our organic computer. It'll come up, but it might not be when you want it to.
Well, it might not be 100%, you know, on the money.
Well,
you know
what's a bummer about those poor Antifa folks, right? So they got this ideology, right? The communist, socialist, whatever. But they've never, did they ever read what happens once once the movement hits maturity? You know, they're the first ones to go. So they build this little forest, you know, wonderfulness, plants, water, we're all free, we're all working together. And somebody comes to power, and then he kills all of them and puts in useless sheep or something. It's like, man, you guys don't know that that's happening? Well maybe first, they do. And
no, they're mostly kids. They're mostly kids. Yeah. And that's why the other side goes after the young people. It's like, I think it was Benjamin Kidd that said, you know, give us a generation, give us the young, and one generation will flip everything. And that's a paraphrase. I could look up the actual quote. But the point is that's why they go after the young. That's why I think it was chapter 35 of Agenda 21 deals with children and youth and sustainable development. Because, yep. And you know, they say in that chapter something like, oh, well, you know, young people have a unique perspective, you know, on... you know, certain things, because they have a lot at stake. It's their future at stake and blah, blah, blah. And I always say the unique perspective is the perspective of ignorance. They don't have any life experiences from which to draw. And what they do have, in many respects, is crap that was put there by their educators, indoctrinators, really.
There you go. It's a created perspective. It's nothing organic that they learn through life experiences. Like you said, it's something that's been inculcated in them.
Yeah, and what's being inculcated in them today is Marxist garbage, which comes increasingly. You know, we played, I think it was some kind of Zoom meeting from Oregon yesterday on our show, where she was a public school official or if she was another teacher, but she's talking about basically to the other teachers, if you don't... essentially, and again, this is another paraphrase, but if they don't adopt the Marxist ideology, they're going to be fired. If they don't go woke, essentially.
I saw that.
Yeah. If they don't start, you know, the words that she used was evolve or dissolve. In other words, evolve into this ideology or you will ultimately be fired. And she said the Oregon Education Association, you know, the union there is working on it, and the National Education Association union is working on it. You know, for years, conservative people, God bless their hearts, have been going to work, putting their pants on, going to work, and raising families and doing what they thought was right, going to church, you know, and they've ignored society. And we've been trying to wake them up for years. For decades. And now, you know, and so many times we've heard bounce back at us when we would say things to people about why this stuff is important. We would hear, well, that doesn't affect me. I don't understand how this affects me. Well, you're about to learn how it affects you, people. You're about to learn, because
the slow, insidious nature of the way they do things. It creeps up on people, and they don't, even if they do see it, like you said, well, that won't affect me. And Darren, it's been a while since we talked, but nowadays I'm choosing to identify as a South African aardvark, so don't call me sir or anything like that, okay?
I have to keep that. Yeah, I have to keep that in mind. Yeah, you know, that's the thing, is that back in the day, in the when we were largely an agrarian society, people didn't have time to worry about which restroom to use. You know, they didn't have to worry about how... you know, all this navel gazing that's going on everywhere, where people are trying to figure out, am I really a man? Am I really a woman? I mean, maybe. Yeah, you know, think of the possibilities, you know. But we didn't have time for all that crap back in the day, when we actually had to get behind an ass. Instead of being an ass, we had to follow one in a field and plow a field in order to survive. Survival was what people were focused on. And if anybody came out with any kind of weird nonsense like that, I mean, they were quickly put in their place. Guess what? You got time to think about that. You don't have time to work. You're not going to have dinner. Like the biblical principle, if a man won't work, let him not eat.
And that is kind of funny.
We have a bunch of lazy welfare recipient people that don't want to work. And, you know, the country's going to hell in a handbasket. You got unemployment signs everywhere, and people don't actually want to go to work.
And, Darren, we live in a society where there is very little, you know, manual labor is looked down upon as, you know, well, that's the peasant class. You know, we'll farm that out to another country. We'll become just a service economy, and everything will be great. All we'll do is create dots, dashes, and zeros, and ones, and digits, and apps, and stuff like that, and everything will be good. It's like, we can eat those if everything goes bad, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, until the Chinese pull the plug on the power grid, and you're sitting in the dark with no food, no way of getting any, and you're wondering what in the world happened.
Hey, Dan, speaking of
really, go ahead.
All right. Speaking of power grids and China and all that other stuff, man, you remember the Three Gorges Dam last year when they got a torrential rain over there in China, and then all of a sudden that thing was shifting, and they're like looking at it going, oops, right? Because one of the problems with the Chinese culture of today is it might also be its strength. Right, it doesn't need permission to do anything that it wants to do. It just does it. Right, it goes, we're going to create this huge dam, and we're going to fill it full of water, and we're going to create power. But what happens when the engineer screws up? Something that huge, right, could have a lot of potential impact. Well, I think it was a couple weeks ago. Or no, probably about a week ago, there was another warning out because there was a lot of flooding over in China. And that was actually done at the Three Gorges, and they were expecting a lot of water. It's going to be 10% less water than they had last year. But the question goes out, what damage happened last year? And it was that dam actually, stable? You know, is it stable this year? The Chinese, of course, say, yes, it is. It's just fine. And we said it's just fine. But if this dam lets go, right, you're going to lose millions of Chinese, and you will lose the Wuhan lab and the wet market. So you won't have the wet market anymore. But then all that information will be gone, right? And then they can say, well, we really don't know anymore because the dam blew and it washed all that away. So...
Let's you hear about problems about with that dam, Steve. You hear about the inferior concrete and stuff like that. You know, imagine that inferior Chinese product, you know. But that's a communist system. And you know, who was it? I heard this Russian guy that was, you know, in the Soviet era. And he said, well, you know, what was it like over there? You know, it's like you had a job and everything. And basically he came out and he said, yes. He said, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work, you know. So, I mean, you know, it comes down to basically that.
Yeah, I think as far as dams are concerned, I'm a little more concerned about all the dams that they're removing here in the United States. You know, of Agenda 21. Dams are very useful, and yet it seems like everything is being done in such a way as to make it to the point where we don't have dependable electricity, we don't have dependable energy, and the present administration, they're just so far in bed with our enemies. It's very, very clear that China has Joe Biden by this short curly, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Darren, who do you think is the power behind the throne? I mean, is it you know, the witches group, you know, Susan Powers and all that group, you know, the chick that was over in Ukraine that was, you know, caught stating, it's like, well, you know, we better get something out of it. We spent $5 billion over here, you know, stirring unrest and everything. You know, the people who actually not only help develop the policy, but the ones who actually enact it, you know, and then the meat puppet gets up and makes a few statements, but the real power behind the scenes.
I really think, honestly, I think it's these rich billionaires, and I don't think there's any one particular power. I think they compete. I think they are constantly jockeying for position and warring with each other. And I've been focusing a lot on Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum because he's the guy that's driving a lot of this. This guy is a total nutcase.
It's like up until recently, you know, Darren, what the head of the European Council or something like that, you know, was a Junkers. You know, that's not an elected post. It was that's an appointed post, and Junkers is part of the old power structure. You know, the Junkers aircraft firm, you know, during World War II and... You know, IG Farben, you know, all this stuff, you know, it's the corporations, are a big part of this.
Yeah, exactly. And the corporations are huge, and they couldn't have done it in many respects. But I think what's going on right now is a consolidation of wealth at the top. I think that they're doing the best they can to try to eliminate any wealth that the average person. In fact, they've said as much. I mean, if you go to the World Economic Forum, I just can't believe that anybody would be in the dark about this. All the information is really hidden in plain view for everybody that wants to see it. I mean, they go right out and say on the World Economic Forum website that you're going to own nothing and like it.
And enjoy it. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hang on, folks. Let's hit the break. We'll be right back. Republic of Texas Radio.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
All right, we're back. Hey, George P. Bush gave away the Alamo, a couple years ago, right? He's a globalist. You know, he's Daddy Bush. You know, there's the W. Bush, and there's George Bush, and there's George P. Bush. He's, like, in charge somewhere in Texas here, and they're like, yeah, well, we got to get rid of the Alamo. Let's give it to the United Nations. Well, it didn't kind of go like it was UNESCO, right? It's World Heritage Fund. This way you can have tourists. Isn't that great? Well, just recently, one of the administrators from the Alamo, that they're trying to put up a wine bar and a visitor center and all this crap so Japanese tourists and tourists everywhere can see the great Alamo wine bar or whatever the hell they're doing. They're trying to put in a temporary cannon. And they're, like, asking her you know, well, why are you doing a temporary cannon? Why don't you do a regular cannon? Well, we haven't gotten permission from United Nations yet to actually do that exhibit. And then everybody goes, what? It's true. The United Nations owns the Alamo or is in control of it. But yeah, Bush, George Bush gave it away. And they walked that back a little bit, said, no, they have permission to do whatever they want to do. We're just working with our partners. It's hilarious. Yeah. We got Darren Weeks on the line.
You know that the words United Nations and economic security is one of those giant moronic oxes that's out there.
Yeah. Those world, what do they call it? What are those called, Darren?
World Heritage Sites?
World Heritage Sites. I won $100 at a World Heritage Site this last week. Did I tell you about that? Yeah, I was driving down the road and this Patriot Radio, it's a commercial radio store, our station, right? They have their trucks, they're all tattooed up, and they pull over somewhere at noon. And if you have their bumper sticker on, you pull in and you say, give me money. Well, I saw them, and they're staring at the grass over at a World Heritage site here on the corner of Main and Milam in Fredericksburg, Texas. And I remember when it turned into a World Heritage site, I'm like, oh, okay, so that's United Nations territory now. And as I watch these people that are allegedly patriots, you know, sit there staring at a United Nations chunk of land, I'm almost tempted to go, well, you know, this is UN territory, right? But instead, I just said, well, give me my $100. And they did. I walked on. It's weird watching the world change.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go.
Well, I can tell you where to go. There's a lot of, not in that way.
That's all right.
I've had plenty of people tell me where to go. But
yeah.
Yeah, one of them on Gab just last night, as a matter of fact, but I blocked him. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, seriously, there's all these World Heritage Sites. I think what's going on, a lot of, you know, we talk a lot on Government America about coming regions. We have mega cities that are being built, and these regional bodies, these regional areas, and of course, it's been going on since the Nixon years, when Nixon first divided our country up into 10 federal regions, each with its own capital. And a lot of people don't understand regionalism. Even after all these years, regionalism, the whole point is to lay a layer of governance over a border, basically to harmonize everything within a border area, a border region, so that the border basically becomes unnecessary and obsolete. And of course, we had that effort back during the George Bush years. You mentioned a Bush. I'll mention a Bush. during the George W. Bush administration, they were, of course, had this big effort to merge Canada. It was going to be the free trade area of the Americas, ultimately. And what they were doing was trying to merge Canada and Mexico with the United States. And ultimately, it would be extended further down into Latin America to cover the whole Western Hemisphere. And, you know, we've seen how well this works in the European Union, right? I mean, all we have, you know, in fact, it works so great that that Britain over there has Brexited out, at least in officially. I don't know how the agreement really makes them break from the European Union. But they, you know, things are falling apart over there. And it hasn't gone very well. And so they want to do the same thing over here. And I'm sorry to say the USMCA isn't that big of an improvement from what I'm understanding. You know, listening, we play a lot of think tank audio from all these big, you know, self-important academics and people that are, you know, sit up straight at the table and talk very properly. Actually, they really don't. But they seem to think their waste material doesn't exhibit the smell or something. But the point is that these people have said, in fact, Carla Hills is one of those types of people. She helped negotiate the NAFTA agreement. And she said the USMCA, which was put together and you know, negotiated under Donald Trump, his administration, was basically a NAFTA It puts all the elements of NAFTA in place and then brings it into the 21st century. So people have really been kind of sold a bill of goods in terms of, you know, repeal and replace NAFTA. And what is NAFTA? What was NAFTA was really a movement or an agreement to ultimately drop the borders, ultimately bring about a North American continent, a North American union. What's that?
Sorry.
Get rid of all tariffs and everything. Voice. Yeah. You know, here we have the Alamo Area Council of Governments. You know, there's one
the
something like that in your area too, folks, wherever you are.
Wow.
The cogs are here. Hey, hold on. Doing the break. We'll be right back. Public of Texas Radio.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. I guess we're in the home stretch. I got Darren Weeks on the line. He does a show called Govern America. He was on the network for a while. He's self-syndicated. And, he's putting his signal back up on satellite. It won't be on Republic Broadcasting. But for all you guys listening on Galaxy 19, you'll be able to get him again next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as his usual bat stuff. But anyways, Darren.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I should probably give the website. It's governamerica.com. If you want to, all the information is there, governamerica.com. And you can go there. You can listen on demand. There's also live streams there as well. I love RBN, and so this is certainly nothing against RBN. It's just certain things, you know.
Well, you've had a long time with RBN.
Well, I think we've been for since 2008. I think it was until about 2015.
Yeah, but you did Chris Gerner's show before that on RBN.
I was just a guest on Chris Gerner's show on RBN prior to that, and I did Chris Gerner's show, that was on First Amendment Radio. So, yeah, I've bounced around.
Oh, and hey, is Vicki Davis still with you, Darren?
Yes, yes. Vicki Davis is still hosting, co-hosting with me. And
Good to hear her again. And hey, if you happen to talk, if you still talk with Nancy Levant, tell her hi for me. Hope she's doing well.
Yeah, I've fallen out of touch with Nancy. I the last number I had working with her doesn't work anymore, so I'm thinking she might have moved again. She's moved quite a bit in the past and for various reasons. And so, yeah, I don't know where she is. Hopefully she's good and will contact me at some point, but yeah.
You know, when I first moved to Fredericksburg, one of the questions that I asked was, what is this world, what's Fredericksburg going to look like, and how does that look when you look at the United Nations Agenda 21 map? There's a technical name for the map, but you guys can find it. Now, what that did, and Darren, you touched on this a little bit ago, being concerned with all the dams that are going away in the process of rewilding. Rewilding means that they want everybody to move into cities and control all the corridors. And then there will be places all around the United States that used to be inhabited by people that will be, well, reforested, re-whatever, rewilded. And that's going on. Now, our map, if you look at where Fredericksburg, Texas is, we are an amusement park, right? The people in the cities are allowed to come over here and to play around. And they walk around and they do their thing. And you could see that 10, 12 years ago. And I've seen now how they did that in 10, 12 years. And we're in the middle of it. And they're getting rid of the private property, right? They want to get rid of it. They want socialism. We'll take away the property. They'll take away your rights. And they are doing it. Yeah. I don't know how successful they are going
to
be.
Steve, I wanted you to talk about the $11 ice cream cone, too, real quick.
Oh, maybe some other time, Alan. You know, that, I'll give you guys that story next week.
Well, with regard to the stack, you know, the whole goal is to get people, like you say, off the land, off the private property. I mean, and you can see how this works perfectly with everything else that we were talking about earlier in the show. The communist Chinese and all of the encroachments that they're being made. You know, we have the EB-5 visa program. The EB-5 visa program is the program that where if a foreigner has $500,000 or $1 million, depending upon the... They can buy permanent residency within the United States. And the idea is that, well, we need foreign direct investment. Well, why would we need foreign direct investment? We were at one time in America the wealthiest country in the world. That clearly isn't the case anymore, and we've been using China as our personal loan shark, or, you know, withdrawing.
Kind of like indulgences in the Catholic Church, huh, Darren?
Very well put. But yeah, so we have China now, and at one point I remember during the Obama administration when Joe Biden was vice president, and he was a blithering idiot back then too, but we just you know, in fact it was kind of fun because I used to have a segment on the show where I'd play a little jingle and you know, do whatever Biden had said at the time, but now he's president. It doesn't really matter because the point is that he's being pushed along by those around him in very much the same way that Trump, in many respects, was pushed around by those around him. But during the Obama administration, Nancy Levant was hosting the show with me, and we were asking the question, has America been sold? Have we been sold out to communist China? Here we had the Empire State Building was turned yellow and red to celebrate 60 years of Maoist revolution. Okay, why in the world would the United States do that? Why in the world would New York City support that? Prior to that, first thing I noticed was we had delegates of communist Chinese coming over here and buying up property in Los Angeles. And I'm like, you know, and I played the audio on the show where the news was reporting it locally. And that's the benefit of the internet, is you can get these local stories. You don't have to rely upon the national media to tell people the truth. You can go and get the local stuff, because still in television news, local news outlets still report with some, you know, fairly well what's happening in their local area. Where they get a little fuzzy is when they start relying upon what's going on outside their local area. They don't really know. But and they were reporting in Los Angeles about all these delegations coming over and buying up all the real estate. And I said, are these, you know, we're supposed to believe that these are just ordinary peasants in China? These, you know, the ordinary citizens don't have a lot of money. I mean, now they have more because globalism, and frankly, they got a lot of our money over there, has helped them out significantly. But but who are these wealthy
Chinese? Darren, you remember also, when did this change? Do you have an idea? You know, at one point, to own property in the United States, you had to be, I hate to use the word, but a citizen of the United States. You had to be a resident here. You couldn't be a foreigner with a foreign nationality or anything else. You had to be an American to own property in this country. Do you know when that changed?
I don't. And that would be a good thing to research. And it should be that way. And there is other. But see, here's the problem with that, Alan. They would call that protectionism today.
Right.
Us bad people.
Because apparently, to these globalist pieces of garbage, protectionism is a pejorative. You know, America's not worth protecting. Well, to me, I think we need a little protectionism. It's time for us to get back to basics here and realize who our real enemies are. You know, that's one thing, reason why the other side is so bent on trying to create these divisions and keep people focused on petty stuff and not focusing on what really matters. If we ever figured out that the real problem is, you know, people like Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum that's pushing all these things, he's got big plans for the future. I mean, I really believe that they're going to, they're already working on and have been for years creating food shortages. Trying their best to, I think they're planning on some sort of a power outage. I could completely see that taking place.
This year, fair. I mean, Darren, you know, they tested us. You know, they had these rolling, and even after this ice storm, you know, I ask residents who lived here their whole lives, 80-year-old, you know, 90-year-old people, and it's like, have you ever seen anything like this? No, never in our lives. This is something completely different, you know, 4 degrees, 2-3 inches of ice around my area. And and speaking of the international control, you know, we've got a friend who, you know, is big, you know, like when they wanted to move the cenotaph at the you know, Alamo and everything, you know, they were, you know, going against it. And I sat there and I tried to tell her, you know, it is now a United Nations heritage site. The United Nations is in control. What us little peasant, you know, peasant Texans, what we want really matters not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
hey.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, several weeks ago on Govern America, you played a clip about owning nothing, right? And a writer or somebody, you know, did this clip where, well, you know, back in the day, you know, we used to own cars and we used to own our house, but now we get an assigned apartment and we don't even own things, and if I want to cook something, I just say, give me a blender, and it comes and it shows up, and then I give the blender back to the universe, and self-driving cars everywhere. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have anything? And I'm like, going, wow, that's a crazy reality. And it's really tied in with the monetary system and the cryptocurrency type system. Alan loves to hate Bitcoin. Right. And I totally understand that. And that's great. But the problem is Bitcoin and blockchain technology, you know, I mean, this all comes together, is more for tracking that toaster that gets loaned to you and what possessions that you had and who had it before and everything like this. Part of the control mechanism that they're interlacing. And yes, we might have some kind of a power thing again. You know, I'd say that that's definitely possible. They're really beating the drums, and I would probably guarantee that they're going to do that. They're shutting down coal plants. They're shutting down everything. They want you to run windmills and solar panels, which are good in some respect. I guess the whole thing is, oh man, 10 years later, after I heard the truth, 12, whatever of Agenda 21.
Mm-hmm.
Now we live in it.
Right? Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And like you, Darren, you know, Steve actually printed off. I've got it in a 3-ring binder here. He actually printed off Agenda 21 for me, and I actually went and read through the whole damn boring bureaucratic BS talk stuff. Yes, it scares the hell out of you if you actually read the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like I say, people talk about this being a conspiracy, and it is a conspiracy, but it's a conspiracy that's hidden in plain sight. Anybody can go and read it, and anybody can go and research it. And if you know, you have to learn the lingo a little bit. They use different phraseology and different words, but once you learn
what they're talking about, and all that stuff, yeah,
yeah, sustainability, growth, you know, new urbanism, you know, stakeholders, all this stuff. I mean, once you learn all this stuff, you know, you get to the point where you kind of understand the lingo. It's not quite like learning a language, but it's kind of learning how they talk. And
or like looking at that 3D picture, like I said, you know, once you see it, you don't have to squint your eyes anymore. You know, you look at that picture and you see the freaking unicorn right there. You know, you can't not see it.
Yeah, and then you can't
learn their terminology.
You can't unsee it. Exactly.
Right.
By the way, guys, Steve, you just mentioned the, in fact, we referenced it a couple of times during the show. The World Economic Forum page, Welcome to 2030, I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. They've removed this from the World Economic Forum website.
Wow.
They have it. Yep. They evidently
you will live in a pod, you will own nothing, and you will enjoy your life. Peasant,
yeah,
slave, serf.
They talk about, well, here, I'll read some of it, because I went back into the archive today and still has snapshots of it. It says, welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it seems perfect. It makes perfect sense for us in this city. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all kinds of things we need in our daily lives. One by one, all things became free. Free!
Woohoo! Free!
Ended up not making any sense for us to own much. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. Then when clean energy became free, things started to move quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. It made no sense for us to own cars anymore, because we could call a driverless vehicle or a flying car for longer journeys within minutes. We started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way when public transport became easier, quicker, and more convenient than the car. Now, I can hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking? Sometimes I use my bike when I go see some of my friends. Yeah, you see, and there you go. You're getting to the point where control of transportation. They don't. Maybe you call that car and it won't come because it's not a necessary trip. You know, I read this article and I see nothing but control. But
it scared the hell out of me when the first time you read it.
They put it out there like it's some sort of a, hey, they're really go for this. We can really butter this up. You know, they think that some of these people, anybody that would go to the World Economic Forum, anybody like us would go to the World Economic Forum website, we're not going to be a friendly. First of all, we're going to be eyeing things with suspicion. Maybe the people they know might go with it. You know, this just goes to show you how out of touch these little billionaire scumbags are. And I got no problem with people having money. I have problem with people having money and trying to use it to control me and you.
Along this line, I'll try to read this very quick. This is from the Book of Goldwater, Barry M., with no apologies. I believe the Council on Foreign Relations and its ancillary elitist groups are indifferent to communism. They have no ideological anchors. In their pursuit of a new world order, they are prepared to deal without prejudice with a communist state, a socialist state, a democratic state, monarchy, oligarchy. It's all the same to them. Rear Admiral Chester Ward, who is a member of the CFR for 16 years, has written, "The most powerful clique in these elitist groups have one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and the national independence of the United States. Their goal is to impose a benign stability on the quarreling family of nations through merger and consolidation. They see the elimination of national boundaries, the suppression of racial and ethnic loyalties, as the most expeditious avenue to world peace. The rationale rests exclusively on materialism. They believe economic competition is the root cause of international tension. This approach dismisses as insignificant the form of government or the political ideology expressed by that form. From 1979, folks, it's been out there in our face for a long time.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I guess we've been hearing this for a long time. They must mean what they're saying. You know, it's kind of weird. I don't know where to go with it. I know where we are. What does the future hold, Darren? Do you see, you know, the question ends up coming, are we ahead? Are we behind? You know, we've got, the Trumpers are going to save us. You know, we're getting Trump back in a few months,
well,
I guess.
First of all, let me put that notion to bed. I don't see them allowing Trump anywhere near the White House. I think first time was a mistake. Not from my standpoint, but from the, I mean, let me just, I'll, full disclosure, I voted for Trump twice, but really what I was doing was voting against his opponent. Okay?
Yeah.
Because
I... two evils is still evil, Darren. Yeah, you understand that, I know.
Understand that, but you know what? I would rather have the lesser of two evils than the more evil.
It's just,
a slow death, you know, compared to a sudden drop in your neck snapping. Yeah,
because right now what we have is full tilt boogie toward the finish line of world government, totalitarian control. At least with Trump, he made noises and had to pretend, you know, whether he was pretending or whether he was sincere to the degree. I have no interest in even, you know, it's irrelevant at this point.
Anyone else noticed that we went from having a president that you saw at least two or three times every day of every week of every month on television, and now we might see the president once every two or three months?
He's a babbling, incoherent fool.
Right.
And I'm just being honest. He's lost his mind, and he has nothing to say. He can't talk without confusing his words. You know, and all of us do that to a certain extent, but it's at the point where he can't coherently get anything out. Clearly, he's not in charge. I mean, clearly,
you know, he comes up and he'll say something like, you know, we the people, in order to create, you know, that thing, that stuff. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
there you go. Hey, look at that little girl. I like her. She can rub my hairy legs.
Come here, honey. Let me smell your hair.
Yeah, can you imagine anybody else
on
TV and said they love little kids jumping on their lap?
I love playing with the fuzzy hair on my legs.
But, you know, you go back to, like, this week, they did a picture of Biden's wife, you know, the money-grubbing power whore, whatever she is. She divorced her husband when she met Biden and traded up, right? All of a sudden, I got a power seat, and I'm hooking on to him, and screw you. You know, I'm moving on. Well, she was photographed with Epstein's girl. God, what's her name again?
Giselle Maxwell.
They float that in the news, right? They're like, oh, yeah, they were friends. It's like, whoa, so you're part of that cadre, you know? It's like, oh, they're all there.
If Biden was trading up, then she really has pretty low standards.
Right? Well, in evil, he was an upgrade, right? She did get to be first lady,
upgrade,
you know, in the end. It was an upgrade.
Every time I hear that word upgrade, Steve, I think of Idiocracy. It's so apt.
That poor movie.
But as far as the future is concerned, that's really going to be dependent upon the American people. I think it's unavoidable, guys. I'm not trying to be dark here. I think we are facing some very, very difficult times. The out-of-control federal government spending, which, you know, has been going on throughout administrations. It transcends administrations. We can't blame any one administration for it. But now it's very clear. You know, you got Biden out there parroting the Build Back Better slogan of the World Economic Forum, and as other world leaders have, Justin Trudeau in Canada, same thing. Build back better, build back better. And if you want to build back better, you have to destroy what's here in the first place, right? And so there you have set plan for everybody. They got to make everybody.
Well, our military is real good at that, Darren, at destroying everything and then hiring contractors to go back and rebuild the country that they destroyed. They're perfect at that. Why not? Why shouldn't it happen here?
It's the Phoenix metaphor, you know, on the ashes, they will rise, and that's what they're trying to do here. And so it's unavoidable that we're going to be facing some tough times, and people are going to have to get prepared on a personal level to the best of your ability. We've been urging people to do that for years, but now it's more imperative than ever before. I don't think we have much time before everything collapses.
I've been trying to tell people, batten down the hatches. It's coming, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I think that there's that. I think, you know, as far as the schools are concerned, at this point in time, I would say pull your kids out of the public schools if you have them there, because the Marxist indoctrination has been ramped up. They're trying to take over the military now. They're trying to purge everything from the military, all the good people. All I can say, the biggest thing, I think, is personal preparedness right now. Preparing for...
Yeah.
And put a garden in and get some chickens, maybe, if you can, you know, because...
And keep the coons and foxes and hawks and buzzards and everything else from eating them, so you're only down to getting one or two eggs a day now. Yeah, I agree with that, Darren. Darren, I just wanted to tell you, man, before we go, it's damn good to hear your voice again and been able to talk with you. I followed you religiously when I could, I love your show, love your information, love your perspective and your knowledge. You put the glasses on and you can see. Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Alan. And I'll just say one more time, governamerica.com is the website for the show, governamerica.com. And I really appreciate you guys having me on this morning.
Yeah. Hey, a little trivia fact. governamerica.com has been the website that Darren's been using for a long damn time. A couple years ago, a group came up with a idea, and they call themselves Govern for America. And so they're camping on Darren's back store. So if you do a search for it, you'll see these globalists right next to them. It's called Govern for America, right? And what they do is they indoctrinate youth, and they put them in businesses to try to teach all this nonsense.
That's with them. Yeah, don't confuse.
No. Yeah, and Darren, as I remember last time you dropped off the satellite, they were really screwing with all of your computer communications and destroying computers and everything else. So I hope things are going a little better for you.
Yeah, so far things seem to be pretty solid. We'll see how things go in the future. But I'm determined this time I'm not going to let them kill us off. Even if we had to pre-record, we're going to do it. And because time's too short, we're running out of time.
Yeah, there were a lot of challenges to the show in 2019. I remember your DSL connection had you trying to figure out a way to actually do the show and mixer problems and sound problems. I can tell you, I do listen, and your sound is good, right? I'm sure you've looked over or listened over to your content, but I'm impressed. You've done a good job. You've come a long way.
Appreciate it. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, Darren, all right. Hearing from you. Have a good week, man.
Yeah, you too. Take it easy.
Oh, guys. Don't change the channel. Good show coming up next. Republic of Texas Radio. We're out of here. Talk to you soon.
Take care, folks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Made sure that our brothers and sisters were clothed and fed. Praise the Mother Earth and the Father Sky. Paid attention to each little blessing in this life. Had a more intimate connection with the spirit world. Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity.